So today, no matter how the situation of the pandemic is, we will still look to the unchanging God. Now, for those of us who have never attended the 9 a.m. service, we are still preaching from the book of John. And so, we have already been sharing till John chapter 20. And the book of John has 21 chapters, and we are coming to the end. So last week, we talked about Jesus' resurrection. And today, we will talk about the appearance of Jesus after his resurrection. We must understand that the Lord's concern is on his bride, which is the church. So after he resurrected, who did he first appear to, and who did he appear to next? And so in all this, what God has done by his own selection is for the benefit of the church, not just for the good of the disciples, but it's also for the good of the generations of believers. So we will see that our Lord, how many people did he appear to from his resurrection to the day he ascended to heaven? For a period of 40 days, he had appeared to 500 people. So our faith has historical evidences. It's not by our imagination. Today, the tomb of our Lord is empty. And these 500 people, they continue to testify for God, and their testimony remain today. Why didn't Jesus appear to more people, even to those who were against him and who plotted against him? Have you ever thought about this? So you have to ask why. Because those who cannot be blessed, those who rejected God, they will surely not see the glorious appearance of the Lord. So who did our Lord appear to? To those whom he had shown favor, to those who are blessed, who will respond to him, who will be comforted by his appearance, and who will testify for him. So today, if you love the Lord, if you pursue the Lord, if you seek the Lord, you will surely see the Lord. So we see that the world is divided into two kinds of people: blessed and those who are not blessed. Some people, they have more and they will have even more. Some people, they do not have, and even what they have will be taken away from them. So that's the first point. And today's message talks about the Lord first appearing to who? To Mary Magdalene. So are you amazed? Because we know that the Church of Jerusalem have received the gospel, and all the spreading of the gospel to the Jerusalem church is all because of the apostles. But now, why did the Lord Jesus first appear to a woman, Mary Magdalene? Now, who is this Mary Magdalene? She's not a noble woman. She's ever been possessed by seven demons. Such a woman. If you think about that, a woman who has been possessed by evil spirits, now you think about it, her entire living and condition is so defiled. But the Lord drove out the seven demons from Mary Magdalene, and for her whole life she followed the Lord. So she's the first to arrive at the tomb of Jesus before daybreak. And so she saw something that was shocking to her. So now we have to ask a very important question. Why did the Lord first appear to such a woman, such a weak woman? Have you ever asked this question? So there are three messages concerning this. First reason, why did the Lord first appear to a woman? Because the first who sinned was woman. The Bible told us that The one who first sinned was not Adam, but Eve. Eve was first to be tempted, and so she ate the forbidden fruit, and she also passed some fruit to her husband. So God first chose a sister. So the grace first came upon the sister. So here is trying to emphasize God's grace. So where sin increased, grace also increased. So now whoever sin first came upon, grace also first came upon that person. So this is such a blessed thing. So that no brothers will say that, you know, we sin because of women. It's all because of her. Now, if the serpent looked for me, I will not be tempted or I will not sin. Now, many brothers, if you look at the whole history of human sin, human is very easy. Humans tend to divide whose blame is it. Is it the woman's problem or the man's problem? But actually, all men are the same. We are all sinners and we have all fallen. But God's grace came upon us and we are saved by faith through grace. We are saved by faith through grace. But women first sinned, and so when God's grace came upon mankind, He first chose a sister, to tell us that man has nothing to boast about. Whether you are a brother or a sister, you have nothing to boast about. Today you can stand before God. It's all because of God's grace. So, salvation does not come from man's qualities. And we must be very clear about this. Of course, some people, because they do not understand this, they will think that the Bible is chauvinistic. Man is always in the lead and women are always following behind. And so, some feminist movement arose because of this. But they do not understand that every detail recorded by the Bible had a principle behind. God created men and women all by the glorious image of God. God saved men and women. God appeared to men and women, and even in the sequence of His appearance is all to manifest His glorious grace. So that's the first point. So there is very important message to why Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. Second message, the Lord appeared to Mary Magdalene. And when He drew near to Mary Magdalene, what was her state? She was in misery. And the Lord drew near to Mary. And the Lord called her name Mary Magdalene. So the Lord not just appeared to a woman, but He appeared to a miserable and helpless sister and greatly comforted her. So many people, they misunderstood that God is only concerned about our salvation and God doesn't care about our misery. Now, this is a great misperception. In my whole life of following the Lord, so many times God has comforted me. No matter what's the reason for our misery, the Lord knows that His sheep are weak. His sheep is very easy. That you know, while living in the reality of the world, in the suffering of the world, in the problem of sin, men just get helpless. So we have various suffering, whether it's in the family, marriage, or health. In all kinds of suffering, we can call out to God to come near to us. So dear brothers and sisters, we must be very clear. The greatest comfort that the Lord has shown us is none other than His personal presence. God doesn't say that the world will not have suffering, but God told us that there are troubles in this world, but He promised His presence. So, our victory over suffering, our comfort from suffering, where does it come from? Many people They will say, God, please change my situation. Please work on my children. And we keep praying like this. And we always pray that, God, please help me. But you didn't see that God is already with you. Now, when Mary was crying, the Lord is with her. And the Lord saw her tears. And the Lord calls out to her, Mary, Mary, in a personal tone. And for us, many a times in our faith, we just cry out. We just call out to God. And we just beat our chest and we pray. But where is the Lord? The Lord will come to seek us in His love. In our misery, God will draw near to us. After crying for one night, we wake up the next day. Yesterday, you know, when you are crying, you thought the Lord has left you, but the Lord is still alive and with you. So after crying, in the next morning, after you struggled, when the heavy burden in your heart is being lifted off, you start to see beyond certain things, and in your illness, in your problems, you start to walk out, and that is the grace of God. But many a times, we only wait for time to take away our problems and make us feel better. That's not the case, because God is with you. Many a times from the truth which you heard, after you understood it, that truth will sustain your life. Holy Spirit will continue to guard your faith to help you tide over the situation. And 1 year, 2 years later, you realize that your life have gone through a very real experience. So now, today, the church problem is what? It is afraid of talking about problems. In this sinful world, we will meet certain realities. Of course, the Lord led us like a shepherd. Maybe among the few things that we have encountered, maybe 7 or 8 are good things, but only 1 or 2 bad things. It really gives us a huge blow. But you must know that in those 1 or 2 things, God's grace in the problem is even greater. God doesn't want you to go elsewhere or learn any positive thinking to cope with the problem and get comfort. But God wants you to return to the Bible, to look at the truth, and during prayers, you experience the presence of our Lord. That's the second message, very important message. So the prelude in the beginning is very important. So how do you interpret the Bible? You are not just interpreting the words per se, but you must understand the essence of the word. The words that have been passed on for generations and the words that are unchanging. How is that word speaking to you today? Third, from Jesus appearing to Mary, what can we learn? We learn that the Lord not only comforts Mary, but He also sends her to be a witness. Sometimes after we are being comforted by God, it's not just to be relief in our heart. Some people, they just want to seek the relief of their heart by coming to God. So they just want to vent their frustrations, cry a bit, and that's it. But no, you must get up and witness. Because the Lord say, go into the nations and witness for me and spread the gospel. Now today, you still remain in this suffering world. In your life, there's a lot of ups and downs. You must know that all this comes with purpose, so that in the midst of this, you can see the presence of God and you can be a witness for God. So Mary Magdalene became the first evangelist in the entire New Testament. And she's a sister. It's something very surprising. So some people say, and they ask this question, so sisters, are sisters better witnesses? So when some people mention this, I also find that from a certain angle, it is indeed so. The gift of sisters, the strength of sisters, is, you know, she after seeing certain things, she will talk about it. So the mouth of sisters is very important. When she's stirred in her heart, she wants to say something. Now, who spread the news about sales? It mostly is a sister. Brothers, you know, they just enjoy their own benefits and good news. They don't really share with others. Now, brothers tend to think a lot without actions. This is also the strength of brothers because you need to ponder deeper on things. But yet, at the same time, it is also a weakness because certain things you don't have to think too much. Yes is yes. When the truth happens, you just talk about the truth. So Mary Magdalene, indeed so, she just said and she just shared, I've seen the Lord. Now, those of you who are parents, you will know. I have three children. So my daughter will always text me, you know, what happened in school. So my daughter always send texts to me, but my sons almost never text me. Only when they need money, they will text me, oh, today I need money for certain matters. So only upon a lot of probing by the parents during meal times, then the sons will reveal what happened in school. So that's the nature of brothers. So indeed, there's a difference between boy and girl. So God first appeared to the woman in her misery. She's seen the Lord, and very simple and pure joy appeared to her, and she also testified for God purely. But here you must also be careful. Now, sisters, they spread everything. As long as you think it's good and nice, then you just spread. But what if you believe in something wrong and you still spread it? So the Bible also warns us to be careful of heresies, because heresies like to look for sisters. Paul said, those who creep secretly and worm their way into people's home, they will look for foolish women. You must know that what God has placed in women, there's indeed the strength. When she sees the right thing and believes in the right thing, she will be a witness. A lot of the sisters forward the church messages. But yet, the weakness is what? They are not built up and equipped adequately in the truth. So their discernment about what is true and false is not so good. And so they may unwittingly even spread the wrong teachings. So in the church, sometimes we hear about certain prophets sharing their experiences and prophecies. You must be careful of all these things, because all these things can destroy the church. To a certain extent, female pastor and female leaders controlling a lot of brothers, this is also something dangerous. Now, sisters must be humble to cover her head. She must understand her weakness. I'm not despising women, but in order, so women can be a very good witness, but can also be the target for the devil to tempt her to bring about the entire work of destruction. So in China, there are very few brothers. So I always told my female co-workers that if you do not understand certain things, please ask pastor. Do not learn anything behind my back. You start to learn about speaking in tongues or a certain power. Do not touch all these things. You must know how to protect yourself. If you lead wrongly, it's not the responsibility of pastor, but you have to bear responsibility. Because those who are led by you, they are wrongly influenced, they wrongly interpret their own experiences and wrongly interpret Bible, and they pass on all these wrong things. So we have to understand. After the Lord resurrected, he first appeared to a sister. But dear brothers and sisters, the one who lead the church is a brother. So this is a very important principle. Sisters shouldn't be any prophet or whatever, but sisters, you just purely, simple-heartedly hear the word of God. You see the evidences of prayers and God helping you. You must know how to testify and give glory to God. And then you'll be blessed for your whole life. The people around you, your husband, people around you will receive grace because of your testimonies. Now, three messages. God appeared to Mary Magdalene, and three messages given us first, because woman first seen, and that's why God's grace first came upon the woman. Second, God not just comforts her, but God comforts her at her most miserable point. And third, God not only comforts Mary, but asks her to give testimonies. So now we look at John chapter 20. So we will have to read carefully, verse by verse. Verse 11, chapter 20. Last week, we read till verse 10. Now, John and Peter ran to the tomb and found that the tomb was empty. And then they returned to their homes. And verse 11, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. Maybe the whole scene is this. A group of women, Mary and a group of women, they saw the empty tomb. They went back to tell the disciples, and Peter and John rushed to the tomb. And then Mary and the other women also went back to the tomb. And now Peter and John went back home, and some of the women also left. Only Mary remained there. And then the Lord appeared to her. And after that, if you read the Matthew account, as the Lord also appeared to the rest of the women on their way home. So the Lord first appeared to Mary Magdalene, then to the group of women, and then to the group of disciples. So that's the sequence. So when you read the four Gospels, they have different angles of recording, but all these are true accounts. Last week I mentioned, if two persons give the exact same accounts, they will surely be copying each other, because different people look at the same thing from different angles. So the Lord is the great director, and he brings out the reality, and he appears to people around him. So Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. So she didn't expect that the Lord may have risen. So she continued crying because she couldn't see the body of the Lord. And so as she looked inside, before that, Peter and John didn't see any special things. But now, Mary saw something that is amazing in her eyes. And what did she see? She saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been. And one at the head, the other at the foot. So two ends. Then what do you think about? In Exodus chapter 25, you also talk about in the most holy place at the mercy seat, in the most holy place there is the Ark of the Covenant, and there is the mercy seat. And above the mercy seat, there are two cherubims at two sides. Now, if you read this together with the Old Testament, So where his body was laid, and at the two ends, there were two angels. So the body of Christ brings about mercy, brings about the mercy of God. So Old Testament, the Lord instructed Moses and the Israelites how to design the temple, the articles, and how do you place the things in the temple. And all this is to point to Jesus Christ. Now Mary saw two angels in white. Now today, if you see angels, what is your reaction? You will be frightened. You will be so frightened, in shock, especially if you have done too much evil, because the angels are righteous. Otherwise, you'll be so in awe. You'll be awestruck by the angels. But Mary Magdalene didn't really care so much about angels. She's not so in shock. Why? Perhaps two reasons. First reason, maybe the angels appeared in a very normal way, like normal people. Just like when angels visited Abraham and Lot, they also appeared in a very normal way, not in a very radiant way. So angels could also appear in that way, in a supernatural way, or I mean in a supernatural way that's frightening to people. Such as the angels appearing to the Roman soldiers, frightening them. And some people, they find angels very amazing. Now today, will angels appear like this? The question to ask is there a need for this? Now, many people who are very mystical, of course, after Jesus' resurrection, there are still mystical things happening. But after the entire Bible has been revealed, after the canon of the Bible has been completed, God's message, God's heart, and God's revelation to men has already been completed. So there's no need for mystical things. And so we don't have to pursue mystical things for me to see certain things in my dream and vision. So all these are also our problems. Because our problem is the inability to experience God in normal situations. And so you keep pursuing mystical things that satisfy your eyes and your ears. And that makes your whole faith even more abnormal. So, angels appeared. What they are trying to say is very important. Who is the main character? Now, angels is actually trying to point to Jesus, the one showing mercy. He has already risen. And then, verse 13, they ask her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Now, just now I haven't finished explaining. There's two reasons why Mary was not too shocked at seeing the angels. First, the angels may have appeared to her in a very normal way. Second possible reason is Mary at this moment, she's not too shocked at seeing the angels because she's grieving so much over the Lord. So she's revealing her deep love for the Lord. When you're in so much grief, you know, sometimes when people are grieving so much, they are not even aware of danger, you know, when they are walking on the roads. So we will know that Mary Magdalene, she really loved the Lord so much. Because the kind of grace that she received from God is so intense, immense. And because of that, I also want to say, I've ever said that the most blessed woman. Now, the nature of woman is she likes to cry, especially upon encountering suffering. It's a form of relief. I cannot say that is not a relief. The sisters who cannot cry may also be another problem. because they are unable to vent their emotions out. But blessed sisters not just will cry, but they know what to cry about. Crying for health, for children's disobedience, for many things, they worry, for no money, and they cry, versus you cry over the Lord. Meaning to say, cry over God's concerns, over those people whom God loved. Now today, we don't have to cry about whether Jesus has resurrected. But today, for what are we crying? So blessed woman, her emotions are sacred. She has sacred emotions because she's concerned about, and she's earnestly pursuing the heart of God. If you can cry like this over God's concerns, then you'll be strong in many matters. In facing various situations and sufferings in life, when you pray, you will receive comfort from the Lord. And then, verse 13, the angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." So, up to now, she don't really believe the truth about the Lord's resurrection. So sometimes when we see certain supernatural things, it doesn't mean that we have already believed. You still need the Lord to appear to you personally. So when she said this, maybe she suddenly hears certain footsteps behind her. The Bible didn't write, but then verse 14, we read that at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Why can't Mary recognize Jesus? Is it because her eyes were full of tears and she couldn't see clearly? It's also possible, but what I think is, it's very likely that after Jesus was resurrected, his appearance is different from his original appearance. And how do I know that? When you look at the book of Luke, you remember there's two disciples on the way to Emmaus, and they kept talking about the happenings, the recent happenings that involved Jesus' crucifixion. And when the Lord drew near to them, they also couldn't recognize the Lord. And the Lord also interpreted the whole Bible with them and ate with them. And then when he broke bread and gave thanks, and then it was only at that point that they recognized Jesus. And why was that so? I also do not know. But it's very likely that the appearance of the risen Lord is different from his original looks. Maybe next time when you see the resurrected looks of Pastor Chu, you may see that I also look different. No, because all the signs of aging may be gone, but you cannot recognize it by the naked eyes. So now Mary is still living in her flesh. So she couldn't really recognize Jesus. And in verse 15, Jesus, he said, "Why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Now, this is the main point. Who is it you are looking for? When you read the book of John, in every word that he recorded, why are you crying? What's the reason for your weeping? Who is it you are looking for? So today, who are you looking for in the church? Are you looking for friends? You're trying to find some values? You want to feel valued because people listen to you? Now, sometimes if we are not careful, we are finding the wrong person, so we couldn't find relief and comfort. So you need to look for the Lord, because those who knock, the door will be open to them. So as we read the Bible, do you realize that when I interpret the Bible, I try to explain certain theological views but I try not to be too academic. Some people, you know, when they read the Bible, they look at the philosophy, they look at the moral values. No, you read the Bible to encounter the God of the Bible. What you have, after you read the Bible, what you need to love is not knowledge, as if you're reading just history or some philosophical books. You need to love the Lord Himself, the one who wrote this letter to you. He's your Lord. You should be encountering and loving and trusting Him. So you will know. The more you read the Bible, the more you become a professor, then it's more problematic. So your head is puffed up, and you cannot pray to God. You cannot look to God. It's like your heart has certain barriers, and some people have that kind of problems. You know that such a person will not hear from the Lord. The Lord has given you the Bible because He wants to form and have a relationship with us. So, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? And thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." So it sounds as if she's going to look for the Lord, but the Lord is already with her. So the Lord Himself came to look for her. Now, verse 16 is the point of revelation. Now, Jesus said to her, "Mary." So the most familiar voice and tone, and this awakened her. So, dear brothers and sisters, the Lord's sheep can recognize the Lord's voice. So when the Lord calls out to us, His voice. Vincent, calling me. Calling you by name. So in today's words, it's not your knowledge. Of course, knowledge is important. Knowledge allows you to know Him, but prayers is to enable you to hear His voice. Now, if you cannot recognize the Lord's voice, in other words, you have no relationship with Him. If you have a relationship with God, no matter how weak you are able to recognize the Lord's voice. The Lord calls our name like the shepherd calling out to his sheep. Then in what the Lord's sheep needs in all his troubles is none other than hearing the Lord's voice, and the sheep can find comfort. If the sheep of the Lord hears the Lord's voice and responds to the Lord's voice, just like Mary turned toward Him and she can recognize Him. So she know Him from her spirit. So Mary turned toward Him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. We couldn't imagine the surprise of Mary and the kind of comfort she received then. It's really unthinkable. Is this really the Lord? So I believe that you really need to imagine the scene. If it were you, what would you do? Would you rush toward God? So I believe at this moment, Mary will rush toward Jesus and hold on to Him. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father." Now, this is very hard to understand. Does it mean that when she's about to hug Jesus, Jesus said, "Don't touch me"? Now, there's some complication in this translation. In the original Greek, it's "do not touch me." It's not that the translation is "do not touch me," but the translation is "do not hold on to me." So some people, when they read the Bible wrongly, they will be thinking, is Jesus appearing now as a soul? So Mary wanted to hold on to him, so that. But Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father." So what does this mean? It's very hard to explain this verse, but you have to understand that this verse means that do not hold on to. So I want to ask you, is our Lord willing for us to hold on to Him? Yes, of course, He's willing. But you must know that now the Lord has resurrected. He had another emphasis, and this resurrected body is already different from before. How is it different? This resurrected body is the same as our future resurrected bodies. So this resurrected body will have to go back to the will have to return to the Father in heaven. So now Mary kept wanting to look for the body of the Lord. For 3.5 years, she has been with the Lord. The disciples has been with the Lord, and the disciples are very used to the body of Christ on earth. But now the resurrected body of Christ will be invisible and will cannot be seen in a short while. So he had not yet returned to the Father, and he will soon return to the Father. So do not keep holding on to the physical body. I've not yet returned to the Father. I will soon return to the Father. In other words, Mary, right now, from now on, you have already seen that I have resurrected. After that, you must go by faith to hold on to me. And that's why the Holy Spirit was given and sent, so that believers can understand that the physical Lord, you now cannot see Him with your naked eyes, you cannot touch Him with your hands, but by faith, you can see that He is with you. By faith, you hold on to Him. You draw near to Him. This is the entire mystery. This is the mystery of our entire faith. So the Lord said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father, and I will soon go back to my Father. So it's hard to explain this verse. But when this verse is being recorded, you have to understand the meaning of God. So, of course, Jesus is not resurrected as a spiritual body. So some people say, how come Jesus can appear to Mary Magdalene and then appear to other groups of people like disciples, and as if he can pass through the wall and then when the doors are locked, and then after 40 days, Jesus ascended to heaven. Angels told the disciples, "No, why are you standing here and what are you looking for? How Jesus went back, He will come back again." But now the Lord has sent us the Holy Spirit so that He will co-work with us for us to spread the gospel to the ends of the world. So from the time of the Lord's resurrection, the Lord wanted to prepare the disciples, especially in the 3.5 years He spent time with the disciples. He's trying to tell them, you know, that your physical experiences with me will be gone very soon. Now you have another kind of experience. Now you have seen and you believed, and through the Holy Spirit, you always see the Lord who is with you. Why do I spend time to explain this? Make a guess. Why does the pastor talk about this? From the point of our Lord's resurrection, what He wants the disciples to experience is the same as what He wants other believers to experience also. But now many teachings of the church makes us go back to, I want to experience God in my dream. When I pray, I want to see the Lord in white robe. I want to touch Him. There's a lot of strange testimonies. So charismatic churches had a very serious problem, and that is they turn the spiritual experience that God is giving His people by faith, and they change it into physical experience. I like the gift of the Holy Spirit, but by faith we cry out to God, we hold on to God, and by faith you read the Bible, you cry out to God, and you will see the Lord's answer. But now, you cannot see, you cannot find the evidences, and you try to find things of the flesh, and you fabricate a lot of testimonies. Oh, you have encountered Jesus. You don't know whether you have seen ghosts or you have seen Jesus. You cannot discern. Because fallen angel can also masquerade as the angel of light. So when people keep seeking to experience all this, it becomes physical experience. And that will make our spiritual quality drop to the point where we are almost the same as people who worship idols. So today, when Jesus resurrected, what is it that he wants to bring to the disciples? It's not just supernatural. What you can, you need to reduce the kind of supernatural physical things and need to go back into the grace of the Spirit that by faith you can seek God. So now the Lord said, go instead to my brothers and tell them. So suddenly the Lord asked them, in the past the Lord addressed them as friends. Now Jesus addressed the disciples as brothers. So we have the same Father. So go instead to my brothers and tell them I'm returning to my Father. Very soon you will not be able to see me with your naked eyes. And I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. My Father is also your Father. We are the children of Father God. And Jesus is the Son of Father God. Is there a difference? We have the same identity but different natures. Because our Lord Jesus is the I Am. He is the Son of the Eternal God. But so by nature, He is the Son of God. And we became the children of God by grace. So there is a difference here. But you will understand. So why do I point out this difference? This is something apologetics. So that's why by nature, our Lord Jesus, He is God. And He is the Son of God. So He has absolute sovereignty. He can do whatever He wants. He can calm the storm. But what about you? You are just by grace. You need to seek the face of God. You do not have absolute sovereignty. You have to seek God's will. You cannot now today go and calm the storm at East Coast Park. You cannot be like certain crazy pastors. In the name of the Lord, I command COVID-19 to stop. You know, the Lord can stop anytime He wants. You cannot be God yourself. I rarely talk about this. But because the times are so messy right now, so sometimes when people read my God and your God, some people, they have some wrong teachings. So they think that they have the same power as Jesus, sharing the same sovereignty, and you can move God to do anything for you. Sometimes you are just giving in to your flesh. Sometimes you do not know the timing of God. You just seek for what you want, and God didn't give it to you. So, dear brothers and sisters, you must know how to seek the will of God. You must learn the submission of our Lord Jesus. When Jesus lived on earth for 33 and a half years, he actually had absolute sovereignty. But the Lord is not asking you to do this. He wants to show you that He is the Son of God, and He wants you to imitate Him. And but why Jesus said, He is my God and also your God? Because you have to know that our Lord, He has double identity. He is completely God and truly man also. So our Lord Jesus, He took the form, He took the human form, He died and resurrected, He had a new body. Does He still have humanity? Yes, He still has His humanity. So he will forever have this humanity since the time he came down on earth. And so he will intercede for us at the side of the Father's throne. And so he addressed Father God as God, and by both his divinity and humanity. So what is important is, after knowing all this, now we already have a new relationship between Father God. Although we do not have absolute sovereignty, but we have authority to cast out demons, to preach the gospel. And as we obey the will of Father God, our God will do everything for us. So let me give you one example. During the heightened alert, we pray in the name of the Lord. So we pray that God will not let the country get into another lockdown. So as children of God, when we know the heart of God and we pray, and God fulfills for us. So today, we can gather in this way. We know that God is hearing our prayers. But we have to seek the Lord carefully, not anyhow interpreting God's word, not in accordance with the word of God. So now, finally, so Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And so I have seen the Lord. This is her personal experience. So when we look at the book of Mark, after hearing the disciples, you know, the disciples, they were also crying. And then Mary Magdalene told them, and the disciples may not really believe. So, but Mary is still a witness. So maybe Mary share, and other women also share. And then the Lord appeared to the disciples and also appeared to them at the seaside. So time and again, the Lord also knows it's so difficult for the disciples to believe. So for the period of 40 days, He kept appearing to them. And then the time came when He ascended to heaven and Holy Spirit came, and then He never appeared. Because He lived in the hearts of disciples by the Holy Spirit. So here, Mary said, "I've seen the Lord," and she told them that He had said these things to her. So she did not just talk about her experience, she also shared the words of the Lord. So today, where is the Word of God? The Word of God is in the Bible. The Word of God is not in your dreams yesterday, but the Lord's Word is here. Maybe you've encountered, you know, after your prayers, God has given you liberation and opened certain doors for you. Thank God for that. But do not just bring people into that experience. You must bring people into the words of God. And that is a very balanced faith. So pastors, every time we see, I see you, even when I do videos, is to help you to have a pure faith. Because if your faith is not pure, if you do not go back to the Bible, no matter how wonderful experiences you have, you may even see the dead coming to life, you pray and the lame can walk again. But I tell you, in the end, you'll be led astray. If you depend on personal experiences to walk your faith journey, if you feel very high, if you go by feelings, no matter what you say, if you do not go back to the Bible, because the entire universe is being created by the Word of God. So only the Word of God has the sovereignty. Only this Word of God can verify whether your experience is right. You do not just experience for one time, but every day. So Holy Spirit will convict you by the Word of God, teaching you what to do. So if you abide by the Word of God, when you go back to God, you will hear God calling you good and faithful servant. But if you do not abide by the Word of God, you may be able to do a lot of miraculous things, but the Lord may tell you that most of your life encounters are imagined by your own selfish desires. So in end times, there's a lot of things that deceive people. So you need to discern. But the Lord's resurrection is to prepare the disciples and prepare us. So you have to remember how the Lord is with us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. The faith that you have given us is from faith to faith. It's not by sight. It's not by the eye, the physical eyesight, but by faith. So the testimonies that you have left behind by witnesses, we have heard it, we have understood it. Please help us repeatedly confirm this. In the past, Mary and all disciples, they have seen your resurrection, and after that, for their whole life, they preach the Lord whom they have seen by faith. Now please help us return to such a faith today. We thank you. May all glory be to you. And we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.